So it's like, you know, the hearts are filled and the stomach is filled, everything is filled. It's like, you know, that abundance.
I'm glad. And then Mohan took you around and showed you.
Yes, Mahaprabhu was so patient, especially with the kids, especially with her.
He's very good with kids.
He's very good. That's
what
we told him. Yeah. Because the way he was entertaining, and entertaining in a way, the way he was telling, the narrating the stories about Krishna, the pastimes, and everything he was trying to relate, and was so patient explaining them everything, like, you know, with their questions. I mean, being a parent, I was telling him I don't have that much of patience to explain them. Like, you know, one question again and again, and they were asking, he was every time repeating the same thing and very beautifully. And like, you know, dancing with them and then playing the bhajan. So the little one was so eager to play the bhajan, like, you know, I mean, with him. So beautiful, was so patient with them. Yeah. My main concern was her only, actually. Yes. He's just pointing out, speak slowly.
Oh.
I know she's excited at the same time.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful day. Beautiful day, serene day.
I'm glad. Yeah. I mean, it's such a wonderful thing. This was Prabhupada's plan. He wanted us to be able to depend on the land and the cows.
Yeah.
Us. That's the culture, and this is the way people lived.
Yeah, that is also one of the very impressive things. Like, you know, how people are so simple there. Like, you know, how there's simplicity around. Even when we were coming back, we saw some of the houses. How it's like, you know, I mean, the way they are living, the lifestyle is so simple for them. Now that is like, you know, rush or something.
Everyone has their own garden.
Yeah.
And, well, that's village life. You go to an Indian village, it's like that. It's just, you know, city life is, in Vedic culture, there were very few cities. You know, there was a Dwarka, there was a Mathura, and so on. And they were places of, there were places of trade, places of, you know, where you rule from. It was not a place for factories and production and so on. No. Everything that was done in the village was cottage industries. That's what life was all about. Making what you need.
Yeah.
And we need very little to live. Especially if you live in Indian climate, you need very little to live. So, you know, unfortunately, we've made life very, very, very complicated. And the more complicated it is, then the more impossible it becomes. And the more unnecessary things that we need to get, means that you need to work more. That means you have less time for spiritual life. So that, as Srila Prabhupada wanted that, and rather than, you know, having tractors and so on, you just work the oxen. You don't need tractors. In other words, if you take oil, petroleum, out of today's culture, you know, at least half of our civilization crumbles because everything is dependent on it. But what do you need energy for? What do you need energy? They don't need energy. You got energy from animals. That's why Krishna made them. You want to go somewhere, you get on a horse. You want to, you know, work the land, then there's bulls. But now they eat the bulls.
Yeah.
And they eat the calves. And they eat the cows. And we do so many demoniac things. So, that's it's really a dead end situation. But it's, you know, people by very impressed people who come. I don't know, maybe you saw there were guests.
Yes, there were plenty of guests.
Usually in this weather, you know, that's not exactly where people want to come, but a lot of guests come.
Yes.
And you know, these are all paying guests. They don't just, they pay. Yes, they like it. It's so nice. Okay, come and move. Why don't you continue your lifestyle with the way you live?
Yes.
But it's a drug.
Yeah.
It's a, literally speaking, it's a drug, but it's worse than any other type of drug.
Yeah.
Because people won't give it up. Consumerism. It's a real drug.
But it's just whatever your dream was, you have worked really hard on that dream. I mean, as Mohanbhai was saying, it was like a barren land. There was nothing here. So what we see, what we witness today, it's, he was saying that how Maharaj has put so much of effort. And I'm
there
sure
was nothing.
Been,
there yeah. wasn't a tree. There wasn't one tree on the whole property.
Right.
So we planted 600,000 trees.
Yeah.
There wasn't any tree. There was. There were no animals, because there was nothing. There was. That's the one drawback. There wasn't water.
Right.
I mean, there was a little stream that feeds the lakes that we made, but there was no water. So what are you supposed to? How can, if there's no water, there's no life? So that's how things originally were, and then devotees worked very hard to build it up, and the plan is to continue. You know, we should have at least 800 people living there to make it really, really work. So anyway, now you know where, and to come back and instead of going around and being locked up in the jail on a ship, then you come to New Vrindavan, where you come to the morning program and you stay for 10 days in a guest house, and then there's so many things that you can do and learn. Work in the garden, gardening, and help with the cows. You know how to milk a cow?
Yeah.
You do?
You do.
Good. So then you can help with milking the cows.
Yeah.
So this is, and that's what to teach the kids.
It's fulfilling. Yeah.
That's what they learn, and they can, you know, when they come during school time, then of course, oh, school's over now. You know, I was at school closing some weeks back. So they come when the kids are in school, then they see how devotees are. Well, look, she's always chanting over there.
Yeah. So we give her the job today to chant.
Yeah.
She's been. Yeah. Actually, half of her energy has been taken by Mohan Prabhu. So we wish him good luck for the night, I said to him, sure.
Yeah. So that why Prabhupada placed a lot of emphasis on that. And also because Prabhupada wanted us to have an alternate lifestyle. Because again, this is going to all collapse. It's not going to continue. And not for very long. You'll see it in your life. All the dependence on oil, electricity,
right.
Artificial, I mean, you don't even have money, you know. Someone just gave me some Swedish krona for Dakshin, but I can't cash it into the bank anymore because in Sweden, they're cutting the use of money.
Mm-hmm.
No cash, just credit card. Or other forms of, which means that you have no money, it's just a number, electrical number registered somewhere, and if something happens to that bank, all your money's gone, it disappears. So, land and gold is the only thing that has value. Yeah. Everything else is valueless. I mean, even money is valueless. It's just paper, just a piece of paper. But at least you've got something. Otherwise, when I keep things in the bank, we have nothing. So this whole system will collapse because it's destined to, it's unsustainable. It's all artificial. So economy is artificial. I mean, that's not a secret. It's not a spiritual thing. Real economists will say, yeah, it's just artificial. Globalization and everybody's connected into everybody else. What to speak of, the whole concept of consumerism is artificial. You know, you've got all the 1.6 billion people in India and almost that much in China, and they comprise almost half the world, those two countries. They all want to live like Americans, but it's not possible.
No.
Because you don't have the resources.
Yeah.
It's just not there. The planet does not have the resources, so what's going to happen? So ultimately, the poor will revolt against the rich, at least in one part. And the other is that this whole idea that you work hard and you'll become successful is a dream, because there's nothing, there's no assets to make you successful. And that was Srila Prabhupada's idea, was yes, we should plan. And we should have an alternate way of life. And that was the farm where, you know, if the whole world blows up tomorrow, well, many of us, the devotees may not even notice. You know, we're not dependent on electricity, we're not dependent on water, we're not dependent on anything. And even though we use tractors at the present time, because mostly because you don't have enough cows are easy, but it's people who are willing to work with cows. Professionals, university students don't want to just, you know, dig in a garden or go behind the plow all their lives. They don't particularly see any future in it. What will you do if there's...
I think you're preparing the world, the devotees. You're preparing that land, keeping things... I mean, you already have that vision, what is going to happen. And you all are aware that, you know, the way this global warming is happening, and this, as you're saying about the numbers, like, you know, the world is going to the worst and all these things. I was just wondering on the way back what it is in electricity, like, we were literally struggling with the battery thing, like, you know, because we were running out of the battery. And I was just thinking, like, you know, coming from the newer zone, that, you know, imagine the way you have actually put those everything into the place, like, you know, there are the solar power there you have established, and the way you are actually utilizing everything on which has come in the world, especially the animals. I was so touched with that. But you know how we are struggling with anything, but I think the your vision to keep the world that way, to keep sustainable, to keep, like, you know, very simple, like, you know, you never know. I mean, things like COVID happen in the future, something like, if there's no electricity, what's going to happen? So
yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, if there's no electricity, if there's a big solar sunburst,
yeah,
then all electricity gets wiped out. What happens? There's absolute chaos. You got no transport, you got no telephones, you got no computer, everything that's computerized stops.
Ships, everything would drop.
I mean, and there's no backup, because everything that's backup is also electrical, and that also gets knocked out. So you've got without electricity, and then, like you said, all your money disappears.
Yeah.
And solar powers, but it's a comfort thing. But if we don't have the solar power, it doesn't matter. Then we won't be able to use it, because we're not going to die. We got candles, we got oil.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, in a temple room for the deities, it was just all oil lamps, like in India. And that's what we had.
Yeah.
We stopped only for one reason, is because it makes very sooty, and it makes everything really dirty. So, when you go in India, when you go especially in South Indian temples, they're inside, they're all black marble. Well, you can't tell, is this the marble or is this the soot?
Yeah.
And some temples, they won't even use electricity because they consider it to be impure. So, yeah, we're not going to die. Everything here, of course, Budapest is a small town, but you're in some kind of big town like Mumbai or London, you're stuck in that town, you never get out. People will kill you, eat you,
right,
where you get food,
because
they have no food, they're not, go to the grocery store, okay, go to the grocery store, everybody's going to go, and, you know, they're going to just rob everything that's there, and once they plundered everything, then nobody did. So it's happened before. It's happened in the past when we've had wars. It's as if you know it's never going to happen again. It's happened so many times: the First World War, the Second World War, and all other. Men are so good at wars and killing each other.
So during the COVID, it would have been like all self-sustained.
Mm-hmm.
During the COVID time, so nobody was allowed to go in and out, or?
Yeah, we couldn't allow anyone to come in. And I was there, I was living there on the farm for October, all the way, well, for over a year and a half.
I think
we're fine. And COVID wasn't even a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the people were locked up inside, they were going crazy. Why do you go crazy being at home? You work so much to have a home, and now when you have to stay there, then everyone's going nuts, and all kinds of psychological problems because, you know, I have to stay at home.
Right.
So it was, I got, in 2020, COVID started in March. I was already in Mayapur, and I had to come, and I got the last plane from Dubai to Budapest.
Wow, that was...
And those who weren't hungry, I was with a body who's English, they wouldn't let him on the plane.
This was empty.
So I came, and in October, I got COVID.
You did?
Somehow or another, from... after a certain point, they allowed. So anyway, some people were coming and going. I got COVID, and then there was no inoculation at that time. And some devotees brought me this. I noticed it because I was having trouble breathing. Why do I have trouble breathing? They brought me a respirator. So what are you going to do with the respirator? It's electrical. What do you want me to do? So just for one night, Shami Hari ran a generator after that. I said, forget about listening to a generator running all night long. I got better things to do in life than listen to a generator. And I was all right. They would, you know, bring prasadam and drop the prasadam off at the door and leave it there like it was a dog or something and disappear. But it's, you know, wasn't like the Black Plague, a wipe out one third of the population. 5 million people died worldwide. I mean, that's serious. I met many acquaintances, not so much here in Hungary, but in England.
Yeah.
Devotees who left their bodies.
I think COVID was an eye-opener for everybody. People, I knew personally people, those who do not believe in the existence of God. So speaking to them during that time, so like, you know, just telling them, like, you know, it's a message, you know, where the whole world has stopped. Nothing was moving, nothing was actually going, nobody was going out. We have home, we have our apartment facing the highway, not even a single car. So we were so dreaded. So I was just talking to my friend and I was telling, like, I think it was everybody's soul awakened, like, you know, there is God and there, anything is happening, something like this can happen. It's only because it's a message from the God, like, you know, that we need to be.
But what happened when the COVID was over?
It's the other way around. Do
they still believe in God now that COVID is over?
COVID is over, but now they say COVID is just like any other flu.
People took it
as do they still believe in God now that COVID is finished?
Yeah. So
now they forget about God.
Yeah,
true. And now what they're thinking is like, we don't know how long the life would be, so enjoy as much as you can. So it's reverse now. Psychology should have been different, that okay, this happened for a reason. You have a path, but it was taken in the wrong way.
Yes. Okay, what will happen tomorrow morning? I mean, you won't, you know, you can run on, I'll probably, I'm just thinking time wise, yeah, you should eat earlier, and then we may not see each other. I'm just working on trying to get my tickets, get my cousin to buy my ticket, or at least with his miles, because he travels a lot. I was just looking to see if he sent anything. Okay. So that's
Man, we should expect you now in October in Mayapur, right?
I'm thinking about going to Dubai in October.
Okay.
For a couple of days. And then
that's even better. That's even better for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a few days. And then going from on the way back also, like I did this year. But otherwise, I'll be in my book.
Yes.
I'll be in my book. Do you have any last questions or anything?
Questions? Do you have any questions?
After this thing today,
Like, you know, the whole time I was quiet and I was just thinking, like, you know, everything, the setup, everything. Like, you know, there's a relation. There was a bridge. I was thinking, like, you know, what this part of the bridge is, like, you know, how the world is running up there and how you have created this incredibly good thing, like, you know, so realistic. So the whole thing I just kept thinking about, like, you know, when the shed, the cow shed, how you have so nicely actually, you know, given the names to them.
It's a nice barn.
It is. So beautiful, yeah.
And the cow speaks Sanskrit. I mean, they respond to Sanskrit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were so excited, especially to pat the cows, like, you know, brushing them. And how everybody has a job there. Everybody has to perform in the service of Krishna.
Yeah, it's not an easy life.
Yeah.
Especially because it's... you need more people to really be comfortably self-sufficient.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't make our own shoes.
Yeah.
Did you see our cloth mill? You didn't see.
It was told that we make, they call it deity's clothes and made in-house, but we didn't see the mill.
Well, it's not just deity clothes, we make cloth, we make our devotees' clothes, we make our own cloth. Yeah, that's, we're going to be building a house on the farm, but it's in the village right now. So, you know, there's other things. We don't make our own toothbrushes. We don't. You need to be of a good size in order to actually give a livelihood for someone, just like for shoes. Someone makes shoes. Okay, right now there's 150 devotees there, so 150 pairs of shoes. Can you live off that? You have to have, enough feet to be able to maintain someone who is a, what's it called, shoe steer, or I forget, what's the person who makes shoes. So, and then what do you make shoes out of? So we make shoes out of wood. We had one lady who came and gave a course, and she tells how to make shoes from corn stalk. And it's as resilient, it's very comfortable, and it's as resilient as wood. You weave it.
Right, yeah.
So different things, and then you can get leather, in other words, leather from animals that have died naturally, that's fine. Although we don't, you know, when our cows or bulls die, then we bury them. We have a cemetery for them.
Yeah, as you mentioned, even that place, the shady place for the vegetables and the seeds we saw, like it was so dark and so cool, that area. So Prabhu was telling, like, you know, how you actually use all those seeds for the growth of the for the vegetables and also the wheat and all. Whereas it has been modified outside, and he explained so well. But even that area where they were preserving all those vegetables and seeds were very nice.
Yes, that's what life's about. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So why do you work? You work so you can buy that vegetables and fruit. But you're not directly connected.
Yeah.
In other words, if the airplanes stop flying, like in COVID time, and if they cut your wages, then you're disconnected from the food. But here, you're working, the connection is direct. Your work is directly connected to the food that you eat. And ultimately, that's what you need. You need water, food, and you need shelter. Other than that, you need clothing, bus. So very, very basic necessities of life. I should go. We should go. We'll be in touch.
Yes.
Boy, you've been so good.
I did chanting.
How much?
Three rounds.
And you? How many did you chant?
I did 3 rounds. Should I do
it
again? Oh my God. 16?
Wow.
Too much.
16 rounds, you did very good.
She finished before me today. I did the 17, but she finished 16 rounds before me.
Uh-huh. So was it
outside?
Was it good chanting 16 rounds?
Go with Daddy and I'm gonna come. No, Nessa, listen to me.
Mama, I know.
We're just finishing up. Okay, so we'll anyway, you keep in touch.
Sure, now I have your direct contact number.
Here, so, I'll be over there. You got my contact number.
Yeah. I'm telling her every day, she's like, make sure you take good advantage, take the blessings, do hear him. I said, yes, just pay my obeisances. I'm sure I will do that.